conversations with wedding professionals as they share their stories, insights, and tips from inside the wedding industry. We'll chat about how to be authentic and that it's okay not to be perfect or run your business like someone else's Instagram. Let's dive into the privilege it is to serve our clients and discover the talented creatives that make up our community. When we share what we know and who we are, we better serve our couples as a wedding day team, as well as each other. Simply put, be Fabo. Now here's your host, Bobby Brinkman.
Hey, welcome back, Fabo Podcast listeners. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Episode 25 is with a very special industry leader. I'm thrilled that she was able to take some time and join us from her very busy schedule from her New York office. She is a very highly sought after wedding educator, speaker, and is a wealth of knowledge in the wedding industry. So I wasn't even sure she was going to be able to say yes to the interview, but like I always say, you don't even get the no if you don't ask the question. So I am honored and thrilled and privileged to introduce all of the listeners to Megan Brown, director of Two Bright Lights and How They Ask of the Knot Worldwide. I mean, this, like I said, this lady is very busy. She is a wealth of information. And when I put over on our Instagram page at BFABO Podcast that she was going to be a future guest, within minutes, I had 25 or 30 questions that you guys wanted me to ask her. Because when I put out there, hey, what guest can I bring you? The topic of submissions and how Two Bright Lights work and just in general, how do you go about submitting came up. So I knew right away that if Megan would share her expertise with us and some time, we could bring some amazing information to our listeners. So thank you, listeners, for those questions and for your time today and following along with Megan. So I also wanted to say that Megan is one of those people that I look up to very much, because her heart and her passion is about education, is about inclusion, and just all-around passion of the wedding industry. And as the director of Two Bright Lights and How They Asked, I was thrilled and my heart went boom, boom, boom like everybody else's when it changed from how she asked to how they ask, making it more inclusive for everybody's story to be submitted as a proposal story. And hats off to Megan, and I wanted to say this out loud here, that the efforts that she has made to make Two Bright Lights an easy and welcoming place to all stories. So photographers, wedding planners, florists, you guys took on the job to tell these couples stories. Now you have the opportunity to submit them in a safe and welcoming place so that others in this industry, not only in the industry, other wedding pros can see themselves and other engaged couples can see their stories and they can see a representation of themselves within the wedding industry. So she's a big fighter for inclusion and diversity, and my hat goes off to her for all those things. I'm very thrilled to be an honor to be a Knot ambassador and fellow educator with her. So anytime you guys see the Knot Wedding Wire workshop coming to a city near you, and you see Megan on the speaker list, you need to make sure to make every effort to go and see her in person and take 2 seconds and pick her brain. Because follow her on Instagram. You see that she travels very well and she rubs elbows with some of those big wigs, as we call them, rock stars in the wedding industry. But she is so down to earth and she makes you all feel welcome. So I wanted to publicly thank her for that here on the episode. A little bit more about Megan. She has an extensive marketing and event management experience, and she understands the challenges and opportunities creative entrepreneurs face. Megan's been a featured speaker at Wedding MBA, Show It United, and on the Gold Digger podcast. Growing up with a booking agent and a wedding band leader as parents, there is no doubt that marketing events is in Megan's DNA. Her love for music and events grew from singing and playing piano as a toddler to performing in recording studios and even at weddings and events in the years since. Megan holds a degree in music business from New York University. As I mentioned, she lives in New York City, is a self-proclaimed flywheel sport addict. And by the time this episode airs, hopefully she is the new dog mom to Chet. So we'll have to follow along on Instagram and see if that came to fruition. So listeners, this is a guest you wanted, and gratefully and graciously Megan has taken the time to join us. So we're going to send her your questions. We dove in pretty quick about submissions and everything that Two Bright Lights can do and how it works. Hang around to the end, listeners, because Megan is offering a special promotion at Two Bright Lights just for our listeners. So you're going to want to hang around to the end to get that information. Don't worry about taking a lot of notes. Tina's going to do a good job of linking back to everything that Megan and I talked about during the interview in show notes. And so get ready. And it's a good candid conversation just about submissions and how they work and why it's important that we as wedding pros do submit. And she has made the process so easy. She's going to share a few new exciting things coming up at Two Bright Lights. So without further ado, I am very, very honored and welcoming. And I want to introduce all of you to Megan Brown. All right, podcast listeners, we're back and we're ready to dive in with Megan Brown. So a lot of you guys sent in some questions yesterday when you found out we were going to have the fabo Megan Brown on. And I want everybody to know that we're going to get to those. And we've got a handful. Some are overlapping, but Megan's going to share insight and tips. But before we get to some of those questions, I know a lot of you are really interested in Two Bright Lights and how it came about. Why don't we hear it from Megan and how Megan got to work in the wonderful world of Two Bright Lights and how weddings became part of Megan's life and how she got into the industry. So Megan, enlighten our listeners.
Awesome. Well, Bobby, thanks so much for having me. This is going to be a blast. I know it already. Good. So, wow. How did I end up here? It's kind of crazy. So I grew up in a musician-filled family. My dad had a wedding band. My mom was the booking agent. They're both music educators. So that sort of events and music and creativity has always been in my blood. So I went off to college, thought I was going to be the next Britney Spears. Clearly that never happened, but that's okay. I'm in a better place now.
Is this where we're supposed to say free Britney, free Britney? Is that a good segue right now for that?
Yes, exactly. Perfect. So yeah, I graduated and I went to work for an event designer. It was the worst 14 months of my entire life. It was basically the Devil Wears Prada over and over. And I think I cried every single day, but I got a really thick skin and ended up realizing that the event side of the production and things wasn't for me, but I still had such a big passion for the events world. So I moved over to corporate because, you know, I thought that would be a lot easier.
Right.
That's funny. And so
might be off on the weekends, but I wouldn't say it's easier, but you might have to.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so what I thought was going to be a quick stopover actually ended up being 6.5 years at an economics research firm. I blinked, it was over. It was crazy. And so by the end, I was actually running marketing and product for the economics research company, which was pretty boring. But I knew that what I was doing, the tasks that I was doing every day were what I really loved. But I was helping to market a business that I didn't care about. I didn't have a passion for it. And so I started poking around, seeing what else was out there. Of course, I have always been a fan of the events industry, been part of it. I mean, I've sang at weddings myself, so I understand how all this works. And I came across Two Bright Lights, and it blew my mind. This business that's a software platform that connects photographers and all other creatives with publishers to get people's work showcased in these magazines, these blogs. It was crazy.
And how long ago was that? Like, when did you first find Two Bright Lights?
So I have been with Two Bright Lights for 3.5 years now.
And so have you seen, just since you've been there to where we are currently, have you seen the big changes that you have brought to Two Bright Lights and that it has brought to wedding professionals?
What a great question. So absolutely. So when I first joined, the founder had just decided to move on. So we really took things, rolled up our sleeves and had a great basis of where we could start. But then we're like, okay, we got to dig in. We have to really invest in the technology. So the first 2 or so years, we were rebuilding the website from the ground up piece by piece, which took a lot. And then from there, we started to introduce new features like matching technology. So it helps people to understand where their work fits best, so which publication, which can be really difficult to try to decide. Additionally, things like Open Gallery, which is something we actually just launched the beginning of this year, which takes people's work, all of the images. We have this fancy magic image reading technology plus algorithms that we built on top of it that can read exactly what is in the image, and the editors can then go in, search through the database, and select exactly what they are looking for. So it really flipped how wedding submissions work completely on their head. It revolutionized how it's done.
Well, and that was my point of that question. I've been with Two Bright Sites for many, many years, and I think we do have some listeners that have been around for a while, because based on a couple of the questions coming up, that they have been with Two Bright Lights for a while, and the dramatic changes that they have just has happened in the last 6 months. But I think the last year, Two Bright Lights has really, you know, it's flipped its own lid. I think in the past year, awesome. I think in the past year, it's really improved a lot, and the Open Gallery has done a lot of things. Before we get too far in the Two Bright Light, you know, how all it runs and everything, I can hear in talking to you that while you're passionate in that corporate world, you can hear that you're now passionate about what the backs, the logistics does to marry, like you said, photographers and stuff with couples and their weddings. So you can hear you're passionate about the logistics of it, which I think really helps people on my end, on this side of the screen, make that platform work. So to have somebody back there that is enthusiastic about the numbers and logistics and how it works, that really makes me appreciate Two Bright Lights, and I think it'll make our listeners. So before you go too far, Two Bright Lights is available to everybody. How do they go about getting on Two Bright Lights?
Yeah, so basically any creative that is involved within an event or a photo shoot or anything like that can take the submissions process into their own hands. The one caveat is that if you are not the photographer, you have to request permission from the photographer, because of course the photographer is the copyright owner, and we take that very seriously. We want to protect people's work, just like every single creative or pro that was involved, let's say within a wedding, deserves to be credited. We want to make sure that the permissions are handled correctly. So anybody can use it. You just have to have permission from the photographer within our system.
And that is one of the questions, perfect leeway. One of the questions we got from somebody named Rich. Rich did not tell me where. But he says, does Two Bright Lights ever think they're going to change? For instance, I would like to surprise my girlfriend by submitting, and I think he needs to go over how they ask. We'll talk about that. I want to submit our proposal, but my photographer does not believe in submissions. So can you please ask Megan, is there a workaround for the groom-to-be to submit to surprise the fiancé, but he doesn't have permission to use these photos? Is he clear on that?
Yeah, that is a great question. And it's actually something we've talked about a lot. So one of the things that I oversee in terms of Two Bright Lights is the overall product. So hearing questions like this, hearing problems that users are having, most people don't want to tell me because they're scared I'll be offended or upset. But no, for me, it's the greatest gift you can give me, because then I know the problems and can see how we can fix these things. So that was a roundabout way of answering that we are talking about it. Currently, there is no specific way to do that because of protecting the photographer and it is for a pro platform. So only the people who were involved in that from the like vendor side are able to do the submitting. But as Bobby, as you mentioned, how they asked is a really great option, and anybody can submit within that platform directly.
And that's what I was just going to say. I was going to say, if he goes over to how they ask and he can submit, I'm guessing that maybe just based on the question, and I'll dive a little bit more and so we can get more to you on it. But I'm wondering if the photographer has his watermark on there. Over on how they ask, is it still the same way? Do the watermarks, they're not supposed to appear on an image. You're supposed to be watermark free. So if he will still need permission to enter his proposal for his bride-to-be, Correct. From somebody.
Yes. So still get permission, of course. But it's a way of him taking it into his own hands, as opposed to having to wait on the photographer to do it. But the photographer still gets credit. They get notified, and as long as you're putting in the email of the photographer so that they get an ad as published in badge. So that system, because so many of proposals, at least historically, before photo shoot proposals were sort of everywhere, they were very user generated. It was a lot of friends hiding in a bush taking photos. So that's why How They Asked was built on that user generated platform side of things. But even if it is a photographer, as long as you have their permission, anybody can submit there.
And so another question towards Two Bright Lights a little bit, just in case some of our listeners are a little bit new. And again, basing on these questions, I think we have some pretty active Two Bright Light users. But
great.
Two Bright Lights is available. Is it just United States, or are there publications that are reach out of the country? You know, now that the Knot is, you know, the Knot worldwide.
Sure.
In full disclosure, just tell our listeners that the Two Bright Lights is still owned by the Knot, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Two Bright Lights and How They Asked are both owned by the Knot worldwide.
Exactly. So is it just worldwide, or are we still now just a US-based platform?
So the majority of the publications are US-based. However, there are a handful of publications where they do things within the rest of the world. Like, for example, I know we definitely have South Africa. We have some Australia, some over in Europe. And also, a lot of them feature a lot of international. So while we may not know specifically where a publication is based, they definitely accept work from across the world.
Exactly. And so your role is Two Bright Lights. Do you see submissions coming in? Are you at the front when stories come in? Do you approve? Do you disapprove? Are you more on the back doing the hardware, software, and getting everything out? And then when you go out speaking, I know you talk about how to use it, but what's a day-to-day like at Two Bright Lights for Megan Brown?
That's a great question. So little known fact, Two Bright Lights is actually three people. So there's only three of us in the US. So we kind of touch a lot of everything. So a day in the life for me is I wake up. The first thing I do is check my phone and make sure the website's up, because you can't have a website that's down. Like, that doesn't work that way. A lot of the team that works on the technology is based internationally. So we're dealing with a lot of different time zones. So at 6:30 in the morning, I'm having conversations with these people. And at tonight, I'm actually having a conversation that will start at 9:30 PM. So there is no normal schedule, just like any startup, any entrepreneur. We kind of work whenever we have to.
Exactly. And that's a good
segue. All the time.
So basically, Two Bright Lights is a small creative business within the wedding industry.
Yeah, exactly. We operate just like a startup. We get to be in a larger office, but we operate like Switzerland, which is really fun.
Gosh. Well, that's the next good question that comes up is, can you please ask Megan, does Two Bright Lights look at every, and Two Bright Lights, I'm hoping she thinks it's you. Does Two Bright Lights look at each submission that is submitted? Two-part question. Second part is, how often can one submit, and does Two Bright Light penalize if I was to submit every day? Do I get penalized for over-submitting?
No, we love you if you submit every day. That's great.
How do you have time to submit every day?
I know. Good point.
Please teach us how to do this.
So, no, we don't look at every submission. Because people are submitting directly to publications, we are providing the platform. We are providing the support for people to how to use the platform. If you ask us opinions about where to submit or questions about how to create an album, which is the terminology we use for a single submission is based off an album, that's what we're there for. We'll take a look then. But really, it's all up to the publication. So each publication has different things that they're looking for. So just for example, I mean, the Knot is going to be looking at completely different things than, let's say, Wedding Wire. They have different styles. Same thing for Pop Sugar. They love things that are sort of over the top and maybe things that haven't been seen before, shareable content. So every publication is looking for something different, which is why it's completely up to them. We certainly love to go look, and we look at the live feed, which is on our website, which actually in real time shows everything that's getting published through our site. So it's really fun because we get to see the images that publications are selecting, because each submission has the ability to have up to 150 images. But most of the time when the publishers actually go and select the images, it can range from 15 to 40.
Right.
So it's very different. And that's why also you could submit the same event to two different non-exclusive publications and they both could accept it. And then when you look at the published features, they could be wildly different because they're selecting different images. They're writing different editorial content about it. And they have different, maybe niche audiences or niche topics that these publications focus on. So back to that, can you submit all the time? Absolutely. So that is a great segue into the difference between exclusive and non-exclusive publications.
And that is a question. Perfect timing.
Perfect. Yes. So exclusive publications means that you are basically giving this publication first right of refusal. And you are telling them that it has never been published anywhere else. That doesn't mean you didn't.
And pause on that for a second. Because I know this is like, this got like 15 questions. Published anywhere else does not mean on your personal blog or Instagram. What is the correct definition from Megan Brown?
So in most cases, it is fine if it has been published a little bit on your Instagram and your personal blog. Chances are doing that, it hasn't gone viral.
Correct.
That is the whole reason exclusive publications want to break the content first. So let's say, for example, The Knot is an exclusive publication. So if you're submitting to them, you may put a couple images out on your Instagram, maybe a few images on your blog, but shave some of the really big showstoppers, the ones that could potentially go viral, for the publication so they can break it for you. From there, each publication has their own exclusivity period, which could range from immediately after it's published or all the way till 6 months after it's published. And that means you can't submit it to anywhere else until the end of that exclusivity period. But once that's over, then you can submit it to as many non-exclusive publications as you want. So I've seen people get the same wedding or event published 10 or 15 times. So they're using that power of the exclusive and then non-exclusive publications to their advantage.
And do you see an advantage to that? I mean, you're as somebody that's behind the scenes, and while you're in the wedding industry, you're not actually in the wedding industry every Saturday. So that's one of the big complaints that I know people ask me if I talk about Two Bright Lights, is they say, my gosh, I submitted this wedding, XYZ publication. You know, when they get back to me, they said it's 9 months before I can even show it or do anything. So I think that's why a lot of, especially photographers, you know, we want to be able to show one or two of these, like you said, images to other vendors as well as the, you know, we want the couple to get. But when you don't want to go telling your couple, hey, I submitted this exclusively and then nothing happens from it, you know? So what is the advantage? Is there a big advantage in your opinion to submitting to exclusive, and how long should you really wait before you submit somewhere else? And then what happens if you've waited this whole time and they say no? In your opinion, is the content just as valuable now going to a non-exclusive? It's better to get something out there than nothing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So part of it is personal preference. Some people desperately want to be published in print. If that is a goal, then you have to be prepared to wait.
Right.
So basically, when someone's putting together a print magazine, they're curating a book. They have maybe 6 month print cycles. So if you are submitting right after they made their most recent decision, you might have to wait 6 months before they even look at it, because just like college admission applications, they're not looking at anything until they've received the entire pool so they can evaluate everything equally.
Right, because it's a limited number of pages.
Yeah, exactly.
Submitted, and it's just like anything else. You know, we don't want to go into a store and see Christmas, you know, decorations out in June. Magazines are always, they might be working on their Christmas publication or their winter or fall in the summer, but they're going to use images from there. And so you have to wait for it. So yes. And I think that, and that has nothing to do with two bright lights. That's just a process. If you want to be in print magazine, if you want to be in print,
totally,
you're going to have to wait to see that. So kind of explain too, when people come to the website, they come to Two Bright Lights, Megan, are they going to see a couple different levels of membership per se? Can you maybe explain at this stage why one might be better than the other and the value that each bring?
Sure. So there are two levels of membership. So one's a limited account, which allows people to submit to the Knot or Wedding Wire, as well as How They Asked and Gig Masters. And generally that is for advertisers, because they already are advertising with the company. And so that is a way for them to submit directly. That being said, there's also an additional subscription, which is the premium subscription, and that's available in monthly and in annual. And that gives you unlimited access to all of the publications on the platform, and there are hundreds. So you can submit as many submissions as you want. And also it gives you access to Open Gallery. So that means your images are searchable by editors, so that, let's say during crazy busy wedding season, which is just around the corner if it hasn't already started for you.
Right.
That is amazing, because you just click the button to have all your images searchable, and then they come to you. On the How They Ask side, I use that all the time. I go in there, and just last week, I did a piece of content that was about how to ask your wedding party, or how to propose to your wedding party. And I needed photos for that. Right. So I went into Open Gallery and pulled directly from there. It's a great resource. And it just makes life so much easier. Not only do you no longer have to read editors' minds, but it takes the time of figuring out who to submit to out of the equation.
And you've already done all the work. You've already submitted, and it takes a while to get these, you know, images all up there loaded into the album. You might as well just keep it open and let somebody grab it. I know I've benefited from it. I've had 8 or 9 open, you know, ones already because something is just sitting out there. And I love the fact that I don't have to do anything except once in a while I got to go, yes, go ahead and use that. So, you know, I wish that would come off. I mean, if I opted in for Open Gallery, I wish then you could just take it, because sometimes, like, I would happen to be traveling and I was getting ready to go speak or something, and I got an extra email saying, hey, I need you to check that. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I thought you were just going to take it because I'm already in there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's
okay.
So that actually works.
Great. And we're in the process of making the whole Open Gallery process even easier. So hopefully within the next couple weeks, you won't have to do that anymore.
Right. But see, that's just another benefit, and that's available on the premium, and that alone could be literally worth just loading up some albums. If you don't have time to do anything else, just get the album loaded, and Two Bright Lights, it walks you through step by step by step. So on that stage, here is one of the questions that we have from a listener that says, on Two Bright Lights, is there a way for us to be able to submit when we don't have all the venue information? For instance, I tried to submit an engagement session and it kept asking me for a venue, and the venue happens to be just a field. It would not let me progress without putting an email address or a venue. Am I missing something, or are there some tricks, or is there another tutorial that we can find?
That's a great question. So when you are selecting a venue, I mean, location is super important, but when you have a scenario like that, just a field, totally, there's not going to be an email or a website or something for that. Right. So there's a checkbox that says private residence, and you can use that, and it allows you to bypass.
There you go. See, tricks, tips. I told you she was going to bring them to you, folks. I told you. So now we have our membership, and now we're setting up our account. Now we need to go and choose where we want to submit to. And like you said, one of the wonderful things about it does have matching. So I'm in Coastal Georgia. I have a Coastal Georgia wedding. I may or may not know who I should send this to. Are there things mm-hmm. in Tube Right Lights that, aside from matching once I load, but before I load, is there a criteria I can look at? Is there ways I can narrow down publications? And then going along that is, how do you guys choose the publications that we're going to submit to?
Great question. So in terms of selecting where you should submit, so there's a couple places. One, there's a tab called the Request tab. So that allows editors to go in and put things they're specifically looking for. It could be something as crazy as a purple unicorn wedding. You never know. And I swear I look through it all the time. And I'm like, they're never going to find this. And they do. Somebody has it.
Purple unicorns. Trendy.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So that is a great resource. It's a huge help if you're like just feeling stumped, not really sure how to proceed or where to even start. Just scroll through there because it can give you a lot of ideas. And they can be super broad or really, really niche in terms of the types of things that they're looking for. So that's one place. The other place is our community tab. So if you go into a community tab, you can actually filter through all of the publications. And it's list you can do by location, theme. That's really, really helpful. But the matching technology is very helpful. So as long as when you're building your album, there's tags that you can select. So let's see, the location is one of them. There's the colors, their style, also photography style, which is very important because right. not every single publication features every single photography style. So when you put all of that information in there, it matches it up with what the publications are looking for. So they've gone through the same process on their end. And so then at the top of the screen, when you're selecting publications, it will give you between like 5 to 15 suggesting. And then if you have another one in mind, you can scroll through the list below and find it there. But I would say don't always go for exclusives. Non-exclusives tend to have a lot more power if you're looking for ways to get in front of potential clients. So if we think back into sort of how these two types of publications are used. So these huge exclusive publications, that's where potential clients go when they're looking for inspiration. A wedding could have taken place in, let's say, California, but the person who is reading it is based in Virginia. And so they're just looking at it for ideas. But these non-exclusive publications tend to be more regionally based or very specific in the types of content or so is it a boho wedding? Is it a rustic wedding? That type of things. And so, especially when we're talking regionally based, that's where people are going when they're actually trying to figure out what vendors to book to make their own wedding or event perfect. So we like to say it's not always about going big. Sometimes it's actually beneficial to go home.
Right. And I will agree. And I will also agree for those of you that may not have done this a lot, but those of you have, each of these publications list what they're looking for. So I mm-hmm. love the feature that now is dark and moody and light and airy, because before you would send something back and you would get a rejection saying, hey, I love your work. We just don't do dark and moody. And, yep. and let's be honest, we all don't have time to go and actually sample all these places.
Right.
The matching really helps us narrow it down. But sometimes I get a match. I just had one the other day when I submitted something yesterday and it came up District of Columbia Weddings. This is a beach wedding. It isn't going to match, but I see why it was matched based on it said Coastal East Course Beaches was something they were looking at. So that's why it matched, because I did something that put that in the title. So mm-hmm. when we get on that, all these publications that are there to choose from, how are you guys, are you picking who can come in, or can just anybody come in and say they want to be part of Tube Right Lights from the publication site?
Yeah. So part of it is us doing outreach, finding publications who we think would be a really good fit for our platform. Another part is people who are applying to be a member of Tube Right Lights for the publication side. We look at a lot of things. We look at, are they crediting everyone properly? Like, that's one of the biggest things that we look at first, because we don't want to be having our users who trust us to bring people who are reputable onto the platform and to not have their work properly credited. So that's number one. The other one we look at, have they been around for a little bit? Like, it's not that they're starting up a new blog and then in 2 weeks they're going to be gone. We see that happen a lot. So we want to make sure that there's a history of them publishing features, publishing correctly. But also, what are their social followings like? Are they tagging properly on social? So those are a lot of the things that we're looking at. Just because it is so important. People are trusting us to give them publications that are reputable, that are going to use their work in a proper way. And so we take that very seriously.
And kind of going hand in hand with one of the questions that we're going to ask her in a minute, but kind of going hand in hand with the Knott's philosophy on being inclusive and allowing all love stories to be told, that is true for Two Bright Lights. Is anybody that signs up for Two Bright Lights to be a publications, they have to be open to all and welcoming to all. Are you guys kind of making sure that we don't have anybody that is going to be mean to all of us?
Yes.
Because I think more and more gay weddings, and I'm just going to use the gay wedding world, more and more gay weddings are starting to be published and are going to be on blogs. And it's amazing. And for those listeners that are listening in, there's still some in the community that don't want to be they don't want to be seen in public yet. They don't want any publicity. So for any wedding pros that are listening in, you know, go slow and go careful there. You know, you may have a great gay, you may have a great same-sex wedding and it's beautiful and it has, I mean, it hits all the bells and whistles. These people still may say, yeah, that's not for me. And you could have that with a hetero couple too. So don't be surprised that not everybody wants you to publicize. But the good thing about Two Bright Lights is, from a vendor, from a wedding professional, it allows me to do exactly what you said. I may not be able to get in front of everybody that's getting married in Chicago, but if I want to, I can really do a few things and hit the Chicago market and get some of my things that fit the criteria in the Chicago market, or especially in the destination market when brides are looking at anything that has to do with coastal Savannah, Georgia, Key West, Charleston. When anybody's looking up and down the East Coast, there's a lot of publications. And so couples look there, brides look there. And because Two Bright Lights makes it where everybody is credited, a couple can click on these publications and find out who the caterer is. You can find out who drove the limo bus.
Yep.
And that is, from a business standpoint, invaluable for the small fee that I pay monthly to be able to be seen by those many people. So, you know, I applaud Two Bright Lights for doing that, because as a photographer, I want everybody to be credited. I mean, I photograph all these beautiful, talented people's work, you know, so without me, they can't get seen, but I don't have anything to photograph if the florist is not making a kick butt, you know, backdrop,
right,
or, you know, hook. So in going with being exclusive, you're also reaching out to different faiths and different religions. So we're going to start seeing more of that. You already have a lot, but is that continuing to grow, that we're going to be very inclusive with the people?
Absolutely.
Bright Lights?
Yeah. So we celebrate all love and feel that every single person deserves to be able to go to a publication and see themselves.
Right.
It is so important. And not everyone currently has that luxury. And so that is actually one of the reasons, and the big reason, that back in November, we changed the name of How He Asked to How They Asked, because it was about darn time that we put our money where our mouth was and actually supported with our name.
And I think I was one of the people that were like, can we please change this? Hashtag How
They Asked.
I mean, I was like, come on.
Yes.
It can't
just be
she. It can't be she. Yeah. God, you know, it's got to be both. It's got to be all. And so, I do love that. But, you know, I've had Indian weddings, and now I have a place to, I would have never been able to, a couple years ago, had such a wide variety of places that I could submit a wedding like this. And so that's another thing that Two Bright Lights is bringing to vendors like myself, a place to be seen without me having to do a lot of work. So, you know, that's very important that you're always, you know, getting more and more people that are coming through. One of the questions somebody wanted to ask was, do you have tips for using gender neutral terms? How is it best to submit? Like, is there a guideline or a place that I can go and submit my same-sex wedding and not call it same-sex wedding? Do you have any tips? Please ask Megan if she has any tips on how to get this across when I'm looking for submissions. How do I always know that a same-sex wedding would be a good fit there, maybe for details and not just for seeing the two same-sex people in the wedding. Man, that was a long
absolutely. So within, when you're building the album, part of that, you select client orientation. So we do that just because it's very beneficial and helpful during the matching process. So you have the ability to say whether it's a hetero couple, whether it's an LGBTQ couple. And so from that's a really easy place to start. And then it will help to direct you to the best fit publications based on that. But also, I think that there's a section called the album story. So being able to tell the story directly in there from your clients, it's not a gay wedding, it's a wedding. Right. Using that and holding onto that when you're describing it and having your clients fill out the client questionnaire that's part of Two Bright Lights, getting words directly from them, I think that by filling out the orientation part, but then just not focusing on that, but telling the story of the wedding, I think that is the best way of getting it out there, but also making sure that you're appealing to everybody.
No, and those are exactly right. Because I mean, like I said, you can have a great detail from a gay wedding that's going to work just in wedding in general. We don't have to use the word gay in front of it. It's funny. I wanted to bring up a little bit about the story process and explain to our listeners what the story, once you get the album up, then we have the story. And then if you can touch on, sometimes it's our clients that are holding us up being able to submit. Is there a workaround? Like sometimes I've just put my name in there, full disclosure, I've just put my name in there, folks, to get it submitted. And then if they need it, then by now I can say, hey, we've been trying to contact you for 10 minutes. But it has happened to me that our clients have not got back to the people. So should that story be something from them? Can we at least tell the story from our perspective? But then what is your advice to that? And then how do you go about, if you can't get your client to fill out that questionnaire, what's some workarounds?
Yeah. So one thing is if you have a questionnaire that you actually send your clients during the onboarding process or right after they've hired you, and you can add in a couple questions about their love story, about anything like that, that's your first step, because trying to get answers from somebody after their wedding has already taken place just becomes exponentially harder. Right. They're past it. They're already on to their honeymoon and to being a newlywed. So if you can get any of that information just about the couple up front, great. The album story really should be from you. You can interweave some of those quotes from your clients, but it should be about you and like your experience, your thoughts on working with those clients, that event, the wedding, your experience with that. So from there, you can send this questionnaire directly to your clients through Two Bright Lights. It basically asks questions like, how did you meet? Proposal story. Can talk about your attire. What are some cool things that happened at the wedding or the event or the party? Any wedding planning advice? Those are nice to have. Some publications require it. So for example, The Knot requires a questionnaire. When we publish things on How They Ask, we require the how they met and the how they ask story, because that is what the entire publication has been built off of. And if we don't have that, we only have beautiful pictures, and the story is what really grabs people on how they asked. Correct. So just keeping that in mind when you're actually selecting where you're submitting to can be beneficial. Most times they will tell you if they need it. Like for example, I know The Knot will tell you if they need the publication or need the questionnaire filled out before publication. But I think Bobby, just like you said, like if you send it to yourself, at least you know that they'll try to contact you also. That's another option if you think your clients are not going to be responsive.
Well, and it buys you some time, because sometimes, like for me, I have some clients that by the time I get around submitting, they're not going on a honeymoon right now. I mean, I'm very lucky sometimes to have some of these doctors that wait 4 months and 5 months to go and trip around the world.
Right.
You know? So right when I want to submit, they're not here to do that. So I can buy myself some time by saying, hey, here's my information. And they do. And I can tell you that every time I've done that, I've got the email saying, hey, before we go, we need this. And usually by now, Tina then can get that information from them. And we do a pretty good wedding detail for them prior and after.
Sure.
For the reason. And it says right there, and listeners, I mean, I'll give you that tip. I'm not afraid to share. We say in our detail list, this is for future publications, for blogs. You know, we would love to share your 5 minutes of fame. We know that you want other couples to know what it was like wedding planning. So the more information we ask you now, we can write this, and you may be able to say you're on a blog somewhere, and who doesn't love to hear about their wedding a year later, you know? So it reminds everybody. So
yeah,
that brings us up then to, after we write this story and we've put all these photos in here, we've done it. Now the dreaded title. Tips on giving these stories a title, or tips that you think are more valuable. I mean, it's like, how many times can I write Love Under Spanish Moss or Coastal Beach Wedding? You know, it's like you're trying to be creative and then maybe translate that into that title really needs to have a kick butt cover photo. How important is that in picking those two things?
So I would say the title is much less important than the cover photo.
Good.
A lot of times, editors are arranging their weddings based on last names of the couples. So they might not even be really paying attention to the title, except for if it's a styled shoot, and then the title's very important. The cover photo is super important because when they receive a submission, it is the thumbnail image that is used. So it's the first thing they see. So when you're selecting a cover photo, make sure it will look good in a thumbnail and make sure it's something that's attention grabbing. Like, don't have it be just a wide shot of the, of an empty ceremony site or an empty reception site, unless it's really cool. Probably not of your couple kissing, because we've seen that a million times. What's different? What would stand out and grab someone's attention?
Which is why you took that photo in the first place and why you're submitting it. There's something yes. about it that you want to submit to, you know? So when you get those photos, so then also along the lines from the way you guys look at it and maybe the way editors from these publications are looking at it, you know, mixing black and white, vertical over horizontal. And again, all these guys usually list what they have, but one of the questions is, yep. Have you seen a difference in submitting more color photos versus black and white? Do you think it makes a difference?
Yes. So I would say most of the time it's color photos that are used. And I would say also when you're submitting, have a healthy balance between horizontal and vertical. And then the other thing, very detail heavy. So the rule of thumb for us is 70% detail shots and 30% with people.
Right. And that's hard. So that's one of the questions we have. How can two bright lights benefit us? I've signed up before. I never get selected because we are not a detail-driven business. My clients are more DIY. So I also don't have a lot of vendors I can list. Is there some way I can benefit from a membership of Two Bright Lights when I don't necessarily do cheap weddings, but they just don't have all the bells and whistles? There's more to the way you'll love this. There's more to the wedding world than New York, Los Angeles, and Vegas.
I'll try not to take offense while I'm sitting in New York City, yeah. But that's okay.
No, I should have read that kind of before I read it out loud in case it says something, but you know, we're having a candid conversation.
Totally.
That's what Bobby's about, is speaking the truth. And yeah. So I see where she's coming from. I mean,
totally.
That's what you said. Where's a place for, and this girl did say she's from Kansas, so, you know, that you can offer her perhaps as guidance as somebody who doesn't have a lot of details. I mean, and doesn't have obviously vendors that she can list.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is be upfront about that in your album story and maybe in your title, like that there are DIY aspects. But I think, like, don't lose sight of the fact that means you actually have way more of a story. It probably means that certain of those DIY aspects are because they were important or there was something special about them that related back to the couple, to the family. And so never lose sight that the editors have to actually write something about this. Yes, the photos and all of that are the first impression many times and what grabbed people, but it's really the story that they get to tell. What sets this apart? What makes it different? And being a DIY wedding or one that has more of those DIY pieces makes it different. It's not good. It's more, way more chance of being unique.
Right.
So I would say that that is something to really focus on. And as long as you're upfront in talking about that, people aren't going to wonder why there's not as many vendors. So I think that that's just important.
Well, and there's also a way to do that too. When you, after you submit, well, you know, after you submit, you get a chance to write a letter to the editor. This might be a great spot to say, hey, by the way, I know this may not fit your criteria, but man, let me tell you about the story. And again, it goes back, Megan, couples want to see themselves in publications. And there are a lot of people, you know, let's think about it. You know, you've been around long enough in the wedding industry. Rustic Barn Weddings look nothing like Rustic Barn Weddings did 5 years ago. You know, rustic barn weddings now are over the top. I've had black tie weddings in rustic barns, you know? So
yes,
it's totally different to do. So that brings up to, we had probably the majority of the questions that were asked for you were, can you please ask Megan why style shoots are so popular and does she ever see them ending? And why do publications seem to choose style shoots over real weddings?
That's a tough one. Oh my gosh. I have a love-hate relationship with styled shoots as well. I mean, so a lot of people do them because they're portfolio builders. It's a way of shooting something or creating something that maybe it reaches a different type of client, a different level of client than they currently have. So that's one way of looking at it, especially if you're starting out and you're new and you don't have much of a portfolio. It's a great way to build that.
However, honest, like you said,
when you're sharing
this, and this is a style shoot, because I don't think it takes anybody too much common sense to realize, oh my God, how long was this wedding? They did all these locations and changed clothes 25 times. No, I mean, that does not happen on an actual wedding day.
Right. Absolutely. Because on the other side, I think it gives prospective couples and people who are planning unrealistic expectations.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that table that you see in this picture actually would have cost somebody $10,000 per table. Nobody's going to be doing that. Like that's just crazy.
And you're not going to have all those florals, but it also gives you a chance to be creative. So the DIY girl, her name was Amy, she can, you know, go and shoot something a little bit different and show her clients and portfolio that, hey, look, I'm creative enough. I can do this. I don't just do DIY, but you know what?
Right.
Don't complain if DIY weddings are helping you invest. They're investing you and that you're paying bills doing it, because as long as you're behind the camera or in the wedding industry and you're paying your bills and you're running a business, you know, you're still being able to support your family and do things like that. But why is it that we're seeing more and more style shoots requested versus real weddings?
So I actually think that we're starting to see less. I think that, sure, there are certain publications that still want that. But what I think publications and editors are starting to really want to see is the real, true emotion, and a lot that only comes from a real wedding. And so it is about what these two people coming together are creating. What was their inspiration? It's all well and good to see what is absolutely possible. And yes, from giving people that inspiration, those styled shoots are great. But I think that publications and editors are really starting to hold on to that, the raw emotion that you're never going to see with models is actually what is inspirational to people who are planning.
And if you're going to do style shoots, you know, we're going to go back to same sex. Please, 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 I'll chant this for everybody. Please use gay couples. You know, please use actual gay couples. You can do a Game of Thrones with a gay wedding. I don't mind, but please use gay couples. And this is your chance to do a mixed race too. If you're going to do it, represent everybody that you want to work with and that you want to include. And, you know, listeners, you know, it goes back. If you want to show inclusion and you want to, you know, you have to show it. If your voice is, you know, in your Instagram bio or everything, it's like, I do this, this, and this, then show that in your Instagram and show that on your website and shout out that you're inclusive. And so, I agree. That's Two Bright Lights offers everybody an opportunity to get their work in front of people and be seen. And I think we all can learn from that. we talked earlier about this live scrolling when things are actually happening. It's like a live Pinterest, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Look at that. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. And again, do you think, have you got feedback? This comes from Kevin. Have you gotten feedback, Megan, from people when you're out talking? I attended a workshop where you spoke. I was wondering if you have ever heard the feedback, have people improved their business by participating to Bright Lights? Have you heard direct feedback from that?
Absolutely. So it's a mix of things. Of course, they're getting their work out in front of new people. People are finding their work and clicking back. I think there's also the fact that publications have large social media reach. So they're getting tagged with geolocations at particular venues, which if anybody knows, millennial couples are doing a ton of research on Instagram. Right. So that's huge. But then also the amount of SEO power that comes with these publications. When you are published, you're getting credit and getting a backlink to your website or maybe your storefront, if depending upon what type of publication it is. But those backlinks to your website are powerful. It can be huge for you just to be able to help your Google rank, which when it comes to SEO, I will take all the help I can get.
Right, right. We have a great podcast with Sarah Dunn. She did a great SEO on a recent podcast, and she basically dumbed it down for us. And she's just wonderful. And so listeners, you can follow back and find that. But she talked about how blogging these weddings and getting published and then using the published story wedding in a blog post, how you, from that one wedding, not only can you blog about it, but then you submit it, then they feature it. And if you get it submitted three or four times, she was explaining that that's three or four blog posts that now you can talk about. They get you the backlink. So it all works hand in hand when we want to get our couple stories out and we want to chat about our stories. And so, you know, I think that is just, like I said, that's just the technology that's there. Where else do you see Two Bright Lights going, you know, in the next year or so? Any big changes? And on that, somebody says, this just come in here, says, ask Megan if we tag Two Bright Lights or how they ask in our Instagram pictures, does she see it?
Yes, I do all the time and I love it.
So, it may not get you published, but she's going to give you a thumbs up. Yeah, there you go.
Totally. Yeah, but especially from the how they ask side, because so much of the content is user generated,
right.
That's how we find a lot of proposal stories too. So from the how they ask, totally keep tagging us. On the Two Bright Lights side, I think it's great. We love it. And we try to give as much love back as we can. So our entire social media feeds on the Two Bright Lights side are sharing the celebrations of our users getting published. So every single one talks about this a particular photo, where it was published, and all of the people that were involved. And so that's what we dedicate our whole social media to on the Two Bright Lights side. On the How They Ask side, this seems like a great point to sort of tie this in here. Even if you don't have proposal photos, but you have engagement shoot photos, and you have a story of how the proposal took place and how the couple met, send it. We want it.
And I think those are just great. Those are becoming popular. And I think that's becoming like a one up. Like, I want to have a better proposal story than you did. And I love hearing how
totally.
And I think people are using how they ask to get ideas from that. I mean, if guy especially, and I'll pick on the guys a little bit, but you know, there's been a couple same sex people on here that the stories have been amazing. And they're like, hey, I got an idea and I expanded on it that I saw on how they ask. Mm-hmm. So I think that is wonderful. So do we see the technology improving on both these sites? Some new things that are coming, some trends that you see coming to make it even more user-friendly for all of us in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I rolled up my sleeves and we're starting to do a redesign of how they asked as well. So hopefully you'll see that rolling out in the next few months.
Just in time for engagement season.
Exactly. So that's been really fun. We're working hard on that. With Two Bright Lights, we have a couple things coming up over the next few months, which I can't talk about yet, but soon. But definitely stay tuned. We're always trying to increase our upload speeds, download speeds for the publishers, but also just making the overall submission process even more user-friendly. So Open Gallery will be coming out of beta soon, which means we'll be having more editors within the product and using Open Gallery. So get ready to have your submissions and your publications grow exponentially.
Well, and I think that, and again, you've given us the tools, you had a place for us to submit. Then when they get submitted, we have to run with that. We have to now shout our 5 minutes of fame. You know, we have to do that. We went through the whole trouble of doing all this, and now we have to shout that. So what advice would you like to leave our listeners with that they could benefit you and you could benefit them when they want to use Two Bright Lights? Just, you know, what do you think is the easy thing for them to do and to keep doing? And, you know, just if they want to reach out or figure out more stuff, what can our listeners do to make Two Bright Lights sing even better?
Awesome. Yeah. So basically, I think the biggest challenge with starting to use any new platform is joining and then not using it and not taking a little bit of time to learn the process, because then of course it's not going to work. You have to actually put in a little bit of time and effort to get up and running, which I promise uploading an album and creating that really doesn't take that long. So even if you're just creating the album and putting it into Open Gallery, you're taking a step further. But take some time, do a little bit of research, like go through and figure out what are your like reach A publications, then your B publications and your C publications. Have that list, because it's inevitable you will hear that this was not a fit at some point. But if you have a list of all of these other publications that you could go to next, it hurts a little bit less. You move on a little bit more quickly. And then before you know it, you will be published. The other thing is, just because someone says no does not mean no forever. It just means no right now. So it could be that they just featured that same venue or a similar dress or anything like that. So keep trying and don't shy away from submitting to the same publication, even if they've already said no.
And if you don't have all the vendors right now, and because I know that's probably of all the things in Two Bright Lights for me as a photographer, is I have the name of a vendor or even some new venues, and they don't have all their things like coming soon for website, or they don't have an actual email. Don't let that stop you. Again, I put myself in there sometimes just to move the submission along. And I get told a lot of people, I mean, you know, I don't always get those cookies at the end of the year, but those Two Bright Lights, I don't always get them, but you know, when it does, it falls on my end. And there are years that I just don't have, again, something that is out there, but I really try to take a day once a month and gather what I'm going to do and send it in. So, you know, that's perfect fabulous advice to send out to people. To, if you can't do it right now, when you get another slow time in the middle of the year, don't forget to maybe send those spring's winning. Because from what I can see, most of these guys say send something in within the last year. So you have a year to where, I mean, I have a wedding from almost last May that's getting ready to go this July 9th. And I've hung with the person and I've let them hang there. But I mean, and others get resubmitted. But once you get resubmitted and released, that's the good thing about Two Bright Lights. You're not lost along here. You know, hey, this thing gets submitted, now you can resubmit it. Or, hey, this got submitted, this is when it's going to come. So you have built this platform that is step by step. But you're right, it's a learning curve. You need to take a little bit of time and figure out what to submit. And, you know, you didn't just walk into weddings being able to do a wedding. So take a little bit of time to do this. And again, one of the big things I'll say to everybody is, while you're excited that you're going to send this for submission, don't tell your couples or anybody else that you're doing it, because they will drive you crazy. When's it coming? When's it coming? So just don't do it. You know, let it be. It's a great surprise when Tina sends an email out saying, hey, guess what's featured today? Then they're going to run with it. They're going to tag it, and you're going to get more exposure from doing that. So I'm excited that, you know, you got some new things. I love the Open Gallery, and you know, I love everything you're doing at How They Ask and Two Bright Lights. So remind everybody where they can find you. Tell them all the wonderful social media things, and if they want to reach out and ask you 10,000 questions, they can do so.
Awesome. So yeah, find me on Instagram. I'm Megan, MEGHAN _SB. So bug me there. I love questions. I love talking to everybody and connecting with people. You can also reach me and the whole Two Bright Lights team anytime by emailing hello@twobrightlights.com, and find us on Instagram @twobrightlights or How They Asked. So please find us. Don't shy away. We love talking to everybody.
And Tina will put all those in the show notes like she always does. And like I said, I kind of told everybody that, you know, we're going to keep these questions kind of short, but I think, you know, with your schedule and everything coming back up again, maybe later this summer, after we get some new things rolled out, we'll
love
more questions out to listeners and we'll just do a quick Q&A. But listeners, that was a quick look into Two Bright Lights, as I promised. We dove in pretty quick. I want you guys to go there. Like she said, there is a free spot to give this a try. And also correct me if I'm mistaken, you can sign up for a while and then take a break and not lose anything. Am I correct on that, Megan?
Yeah, so if you are on the monthly account, you can downgrade and you won't lose any submissions that have already been accepted. So it does allow you to have that flexibility, but your images will be removed from Open Gallery. So if you are in busy season, the annual membership may make life a little bit easier.
Yeah,
you save money there.
I was going to say, that's the way to do it. Just let the Open Gallery work behind the scenes while you're working to create more images or do wonderful things. So I cannot thank you enough for taking your time. You're a very, very busy woman. You're an industry leader. You're definitely somebody that I have admired from afar for a while. I love hearing you speak when you're at the Knot and any seminars and little webinars that you do. So you're an industry person. You're great for this community. We're very blessed to have you in it. And I encourage everybody to get to know a little bit more about you and all the good things that you're doing, because she really is, as somebody in this community that can help your business grow and give you some guidelines in doing so. And she is definitely a friend in the industry, and she's all about supporting and educating and welcoming everybody's love story. So I can't thank you enough, Megan, for joining us today and sharing yourself with our listeners.
Bobby, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here and such a fun time to talk. And it was just a great conversation.
All right. Well, go have a fabulous weekend there in New York and all the places that you go. Listeners, we'll be back with another episode next Wednesday. Until then, reach out to Megan, everything about Two Bright Lights, and we can't wait to see your submissions everywhere. Don't forget to tag BFABO Podcast if you're going to, you know, submit something and let us know how it's going. We'll be back with more questions later. Thanks, Megan. Everybody have a fabulous weekend.
Thanks.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for joining the Candid Conversation today with Megan Brown, Director of Two Bright Lights, and myself here in episode 25. And as promised, Megan's got a special promo code for you, FABO, F-A-B-B-O. Head over to twobrightlights.com, use this promo code, and if you're not familiar with Two Bright Lights, this is your perfect opportunity to get started. It's easy to use, it's self-guiding, but they're also very easy to reach out and ask questions to. But you guys, you know, took the time and shared your talents and passion with your couples. So now is your time to submit their stories. And it's always kind of fun to have our couples 5 minutes of fame in a blog post or print publications even, or in other publications. So I'm excited to see where all you guys submit. I'm excited to bring you this opportunity to get to know a little bit about Megan. And this will help your business grow a little bit, people. It's going to let other couples, engaged couples, see what all you can do. And again, it's just sharing everybody's story, everybody's stories that are to be told. So thank you guys for listening today. Thank you guys for joining us. And as always, please don't forget to give us a review. I'm always learning. I know it can improve, but I'm doing my best in a most authentic way for all of you. So thanks, Megan, for joining us. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And don't forget that promo code is FABO, F-A-B-B-O. Till next time, remember, what you do matters. It's a privilege to be part of everyone's story. Thank you all for being FABO.
Thanks for joining us. We hope these conversations will take you into your wedding weekend with a little more confidence, proud of what you do, and how you serve your clients. Maybe you even picked up a business tip or two. Till next time, be FABO.